We're going to continue the show by talking about a local nonprofit in our community, one of the longest standing and more significant nonprofits in our area. They are facing a budget crunch this year, second time in the last 3 years. It's the Orange County Rape Crisis Center. They've been around since 1974, providing services for sexual assault survivors and prevention programs in the schools. Now, though, they are facing a significant budget crunch. It's forcing them to make cuts to staff and services, but still doing as much as they can to provide those same services to folks that they've been doing for decades and decades. We're joined here in the studio by Rachel Ballantyne, who is the executive director for the OCRCC. Their website is OCRCC.org. Rachel, thank you so much for being with us today. Good morning.
Thanks for having me, Aaron.
So give us the rundown on the situation. What are you facing?
Yeah, so this year, in the last couple of months, we have received news from various funding sources that we should be expecting significantly less coming in, primarily in the form of government contracts to deliver core sexual assault services. And so as you mentioned, this is the second time in the last 3 years we've been hit with some budget cuts. The first time, back in 2021, we were able to kind of insulate the community from that. We had to cut some staff, but we did not have to cut services. This time it's different. There is no way for us to weather these cuts without cutting back on what we're actually able to offer to the community. And the clincher is that this is also happening at the same time that we're seeing an unprecedented surge in folks reaching out for services. We saw an 80% increase in people since last year reaching out to receive sexual assault services, and now we're going to have to figure out how to serve more people with half the staff.
How many people do you serve?
So last year we had a little over 1,200 survivors that we provided direct service to. On the prevention side of things, we served about somewhere between 14 to 15,000 children, youth, and families in the community.
So what's happening with services? I know you're making some cuts, but trying to preserve as much as possible.
Yeah. So, you know, there's some services that we are going to protect, you know, with everything. We're never going to, you know, we're never going to let go of our 24-hour helpline. That is the core of what we do. Crisis, 24-hour availability of crisis services is who we are. So that's going to stay intact. But our long-term advocacy services, we're going to have to divert to a wait list for all but the most urgent cases. Our therapy program is where we're going to see a pretty big hit. We will have to reduce our caseload by about 60% on therapy. So last year we were able to pay for 130 survivors to receive free trauma-focused therapy. And in the coming year, we're looking at about 35 to 40 survivors will get that service. Mm. One of our major things that we're going to be cutting, that's I think one of the ones that we're most heartbroken about, is our Latino services program. So direct services for Latino and Latinx survivors is still available, but our presence in the community is what's going to be going away. And that's a really big blow for a community that has a lot of reasons to be distrustful of institutions, a lot of reasons to be fearful of, you know, reaching out for support, especially with organizations that, you know, they may be fearful that law enforcement might get involved, that immigration and customs enforcement might get involved. And so we, you know, part of how we overcome that fear is by having an on-the-ground presence in community, in spaces where folks already feel safe coming. And that's one of the programs that we are going to be cutting. One that folks are probably going to notice, more people are going to notice this one, and that's the cuts to our Safe Touch program.
Right.
So the Safe Touch program, a lot of people in our community know that. If you've got children in the local schools, then you know Safe Touch. For many years, almost 40 years, we've been on an every child, every class, every year model. And in the coming years, we're just not going to be able to do that. We're going to be picking and choosing which classrooms, which grade levels actually receive that service.
Speaking with Rachel Valentine, again, Executive Director of the Orange County Rape Crisis Center, OCRCC.org is their website. Go there and find out more information about the services they offer, how you can help and get involved and volunteer and donate. You mentioned all of this is kind of precipitated by government cuts, and we're talking about the Victims of Crime Act primarily here?
That's correct, yeah. So the Victims of Crime Act, or VOCA for short, is one of the most enduring relied upon funding sources for victim services. And this is across the country, right? Mm-hmm. This is not just affecting us.
Yeah, this is federal funding we're talking about here, not state.
This is federal funding. That's right. So it's federal funding that's drying up at the federal level. So that funding then gets dispersed to the states. The states disperse it to the local programs. And we're all seeing less. So all across the state of North Carolina, there's less money for victim services across the board.
What are the politics behind that? Like, why is that happening?
You know, it's really, it's very technical, but it's kind of interesting. So the money that goes into the pot of money that funds these programs is actually not taxpayer dollars. And that's really surprising to folks. It's not, you know, your taxes don't actually go to this. The money that funds victim services comes from the penalties, fees, and fines that are collected during the prosecution of federal financial crimes.
Okay.
And since 2017, there has been a policy of deferred prosecution at the federal level. So there's just less money going into this pot. The current projections that we're hearing from North Carolina's Governor's Crime Commission is that the pot is expected to be completely dry by the end of 2024, which is next year.
Wow.
This is a major crisis for victim services all across the country. We're kind of the canary in the coal mine here. Like, we are sounding the alarm to let people know this is happening to us, but really we're letting people know that victim services across North Carolina and across the country are about to hit a financial cliff.
And I don't know if the OCRCC does any government advocacy, but there's got to be some advocacy from somewhere on the governmental level saying, okay, if that money's not coming from somewhere, then where else can we draw funds? Right?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, our movement has folks on the Hill advocating, and we're, of course, calling our elected representatives and asking them to look into this, asking them to advocate for a more expeditious fix to this problem, because we can't wait till it runs all the way dry. If that happens, programs are going to close, which means that entire counties are going to be without any victim services at all.
Speaking with Rachel Valentine again, Orange County Rape Crisis Center. So how can people get involved? How can they help?
Yeah, so there's a few different ways. At the local level, if you're really concerned about your local community, the message that we're getting from the federal government is that if local communities want robust victim services, they're going to have to figure out how to fund it themselves. So, of course, financial support to your local victim services organizations. In our county, that is Orange County Rape Crisis Center and the Compass Center, which provides domestic violence services. Financial contributions to these organizations are critically important right now, because we are trying to figure out how to keep these programs afloat. There's also, businesses that provide services that survivors might need. For example, hotels. Many folks might not know, we don't have an emergency shelter in Orange County for domestic violence and sexual assault survivors. So often when there is a survivor who needs emergency shelter to flee a violent situation, we are paying for them to stay in hotels so that they can stay safe. Hotels that have rooms available that can donate those, local businesses that sell things that survivors might need. In-kind donations are incredibly helpful as well, because a lot of our budget goes to direct relief to survivors. We've also got a need for volunteers, folks that can help us on the helpline or can just help us in the office with keeping things going so that our staff can focus on client care. And there's also, I think, avenues for advocacy, at the local level. We rely on human services funding from local governments, and there's not enough to go around, right? The need is increasing all around, and there's not enough in that human services budget. So advocating for increases to the human services budget, advocating with your state elected officials to include state set-asides, permanent budget line items for victim services. This is something that Governor Cooper put into his budget last year, and of course it got eradicated. And then at the federal level, advocating for fixing the Crime Victims Fund issue.
Speaking again with Rachel Valentine, you can get more information on how you can help online at the website OCRCC.org. That's the website for the Orange County Rape Crisis Center, OCRCC.org. And moving forward, I assume you've got a worst case scenario discussion that you're having with board and staff about what happens if nothing changes. What are those discussions like right now?
Yeah, you know, at the moment we are really focused on how do we get through this next 9 months. Cutting staff and services by about 50% is a lot to navigate. Mm. But yeah, we are looking at, you know, what happens if the Crime Victims Fund really does dry up by 2024. We're talking with community partners about how we can share expenses so we can keep providing services. We're talking about potentially having regional helplines that would serve, you know, multiple counties at a time. That's not ideal. That's not in the best interest of survivors, but it might be what we have to do in order to make sure that there's at least something for survivors to access.
For right now, and as we start to wrap up this conversation, what is your message to survivors, to people who need your services or will in the future?
The main thing I want you to know is that we are here, right? We are still here. Our doors are still open. This is a movement that was started by survivors, continues to be led by survivors. And as survivors, we're not going to let other survivors down. Keep calling us. Keep reaching out for services. Our lights are still on and our phones are still live.
Again, OCRCC.org is the website for the Orange County Rape Crisis Center. Go there and find out more about how you can help, how you can get involved. If you need to reach out to them for services, they've got all the information on the website there as well, OCRCC.org. Rachel Valentine, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Aaron.